More war news from the NBC newsroom in New York. Chungking. China has decided to declare war on Japan, Germany, and Italy. Foreign Minister Kuo Tai-shi has announced at a special press conference. He says China is prepared to make every sacrifice to collaborate with the United States and Great Britain in defeating Japan. Tokyo. Army and Navy sections of Imperial Headquarters have announced that a 50 or 60 American planes have been shot down in air combats over Clark Field in the Philippines, and 40 more over Iba, 80 miles northeast of Manila. Manila. Three Japanese planes are said to have been shot down over Luzon Island in the Philippines. American fighter squadrons from Fort Stotzenberg are said to have bagged the Japanese bombers without any American losses. Manila. The nearest American city to Japan has not yet had an air raid or heard any air raid warning. Japanese planes have been within 40 miles of Manila, but haven't yet been over the city. One Japanese was arrested in the Manila port area, where he was caught cutting telephone wires. Another was caught using a radio transmitter. New York. The Berlin Radio credits the Japanese with claiming only one United States battleship definitely sunk at Pearl Harbor and identifies the ship as the West Virginia. New York. The Rome Radio said today that in accordance with the Three Power Pact, Germany and Italy are at war with the United States. The announcer's exact words were that the Japanese declaration of war involves, in accordance with the Three Power Pact, the existence of a state of war between the two Axis powers and the United States. The Rome broadcast was heard in New York. Again, New York. The president of the New York Stock Exchange said today that Wall Street will continue to function as usual with one exception. Trading in Japanese bonds will be suspended for the time being. All officials of the exchange were at their offices very early this morning, hours before the 10 a.m. opening. Berlin. The Germans say heavy fighting continues on the Libyan front, and that German bombers are keeping the British-held port of Tobruk under constant day and night attack. I'll repeat that Rome Radio broadcast heard here in New York, which said today that in accordance with the Three Power Pact, Germany and Italy are at war with the United States. Washington. The White House has announced that the Japanese attack on Hawaii has resulted in the capsizing of an old battleship, the destruction of a destroyer, and damage to other vessels, and destruction of a relatively large number of planes. The White House says casualties are expected to amount to about 3,000. And here's a bulletin from the NBC listening post. In addition to the bombing of Nauru Island, that's Australian mandated territory, and Ellis Islands in the Western Pacific have been bombed. They are reported to be rich in phosphate deposits, states the BBC. From Melbourne, Australia. Australia was brought into Japan's spreading war in the Pacific today when Japanese forces attacked tiny Nauru Island, and the Australian cabinet decided to declare war. Prime Minister John Curtin was expected to make the formal announcement of hostilities at any moment. Nauru, only 12 miles around and 26 miles south of the equator, is a former German possession whose mandate is shared by Australia, New Zealand, and Britain. The Commonwealth of Australia swiftly went on a war footing. Air raid and defense measures already are underway. Detectives have begun rounding up Japanese nationals, of whom there are believed to be about 200 left. They will be interned. Regulations to restrict gasoline consumption and control transport will be issued tomorrow. Curtin, who called this the gravest hour in Australia's history and held an emergency meeting of his cabinet, was to speak by radio today. He said more men would be transferred to war factories from civilian work and announced that air and military officers had gone to war stations in accordance with long-arranged plans with Britain, the United States, and the Netherlands East Indies. All Christmas leaves of the fighting forces have been canceled. Curtin called the people of Australia to give the best they can in service of their country. Announcing that Japan had begun the War of the Pacific, Curtin said in a statement, "The fighting forces of Australia, that is, are at their battle stations, and every other man and woman should be at some place of usefulness. The Australian government has taken immediate steps according to a plan to defend Australian, British, and United States interests." Here's news from Washington. Chairman Andrew May, he's of the House Military Affairs Committee, says the committee will meet tomorrow to frame legislation to repeal restrictions of the Selective Service and National Guard Acts forbidding the use of those troops outside the Western Hemisphere. from Rome. The Italian High Command says that British air raiders attacked several sections of Sicily during the weekend but caused only slight damage. The Italians also claim German bombers attacked a British naval formation in the central Mediterranean and scored a direct hit on a cruiser. New Delhi. India is within striking distance of the Japanese military machine for the first time in history and is taking appropriate precautions. Calcutta and other eastern Indian cities are within range of Japanese bombers based in Indochina. Therefore, they are rushing air raid defense measures, and the Indian Navy is watching for Japanese submarines in Indian waters. We take you now to Washington.
This is Earl Godwin in Washington. Just this moment left the White House, where Mr. Stephen T. Early, the President's press secretary, read us. A statement which he said had been approved by the President. And the important news is rather dramatic. Just this moment left the White House, where Mr. Stephen T. Early, the President's press secretary, read us a statement which he said had been approved by the President. And the important news is rather drab. American operations against the Japanese attacking forces in the neighborhood of the Hawaiian Islands are still continuing. A number of Japanese planes and submarines have been destroyed. The damage caused to our forces in Oahu in yesterday's attack appear more serious than at first believed. In Pearl Harbor itself, one old battleship has capsized, and several other ships have been seriously damaged. One destroyer has been blown up. Several other small ships were seriously hit. In parentheses, and not a part of the President's statement or the White House statement at that time, this does not confirm the Japanese story that two American battleships have been sunk, and whether or not it has any parallel to their statement that eight American cruisers have been sunk or destroyed, I do not know. But the statement that Mr. Early read continues. Army and Navy fields were bombed with resulting destruction of several hangars, and a large number of planes were put out of commission. A number of bombers arrived safely from San Francisco during the engagement while it was underway. Reinforcements of planes are being rushed, and repair work is underway on ships, planes, and ground facilities. Guam, Wake, Midway Islands, and Hong Kong have been attacked. Details of these attacks are lacking. 200 Marines, all that remained in China, have been interned by the Japanese near Tientsin. Total casualties on the island of Oahu are not yet definitely known, but in all probability will mount to about 3,000. Nearly one half are fatalities, the others being wounded. It seems clear from the reports that many bombs were dropped on the city of Honolulu, resulting in a small number of casualties. At that point, Mr. Early said the statement ends, and a correspondent standing close to him asked him if he knew of any official report or any official reaction or any official answer to the question, how did the Japanese forces get by our outer defenses? Well, Mr. Early studied for a brief moment, and I think he said that there was no official answer to the question, but that a consensus of experts seems to be that in all probability, that all, or part, if not all, the planes came from Japanese plane carriers and apparently were of the dive bomber type. The attack came about dawn. The plane carriers naturally had all night to get where they were going under the cover of darkness. When the planes took off and they got within striking distance, reached a high altitude, and then came in strong. Previously to that part of the statement, Mr. Early said, and he read from a prepared copy which is on his desk, and I think I saw in it evidences of Mr. Roosevelt's own handwriting in between some of the lines of the text and the type. The reaction of the country in telegrams that had come in yesterday and today and all night all expressed horror at the attack and pledged loyalty and full aid to the president and to the government and the country. There were governors and mayors and leaders in civic movements, labor leaders, leaders of women's clubs and the clubs themselves, editors and clergymen from all denominations, leaders of all kinds of movements and sects in the country offered their services. Many of the signers of the telegram offered them personally their services. Of course, radio stations and broadcasters all over the country. For instance, here's the name of Alf Landon in the telegram, who says, "The Japanese attack leaves no choice. Nothing must be permitted to interrupt our victory over a foreign foe." And Joseph Kennedy, who was our ambassador to Great Britain, and Louis Johnson, who was Assistant Secretary of War, and David Sarnoff of the RCA, and the Reverend Dan A. Poling, who's known to millions as the editor of the Christian Herald. He speaks in behalf of complete American unity in defense to win the peace, and he speaks of world freedom as being now a fact in our going to war for it. Mr. Sarnoff telegraphed four words: "We await your commands." And then there was an interesting little sidelight to human interest that Mr. Early gave us. Among the flood of telephone calls to the White House was one for a taxicab man in the District of Columbia who said, informed the White House, he'd just finished paying for a car, and as the owner, he would like to give it to the government if it would be any use, and he would offer to drive free any government official who was caught short and who needed it for his immediate official use. Senator Connally of Texas, chairman of the Senate Foreign Relations Committee, prepares the following war resolution: "Whereas the Imperial Japanese government has committed an unprovoked act of war against the government and the people of the United States of America, therefore be it resolved by the Senate and the House of Representatives of the United States of America and the Congress assembled, that a state of war between the United States and the Imperial Japanese government, which has been thrust upon the United States, is hereby formally declared. And the President is hereby authorized and directed to employ the entire naval and military forces of the United States and the resources of the government to carry on war against the Imperial Japanese government and to bring the conflict to a successful termination of all the resources of the country are hereby pledged by the Congress of the United States." In a bulletin, the House Military Affairs Committee meets tomorrow to draw a bill which would repeal the restriction forbidding the use of draftees and the National Guardsmen outside the Western Hemisphere. And at this moment, Mr. Roosevelt is in his study or in his office writing the message, which he will deliver to Congress in exactly 1 hour and 2 minutes at 12:30 Eastern Standard Time. And Congress, angered, awaits the President's appearance, because Congress is ready to do what the President asks him to at this time. Of course, as you know, the President is not going to ask for declare war on the entire axis. It will be enough for that when the time comes, although official Washington believes thoroughly and heartily that the Japanese move was inspired from Berlin. And as Mr. Hull has said the attack was infamous and treacherous, and it has certainly solidified Congress behind the President. And that's all at this moment.
You heard from Earl Godwin in Washington, and as he just pointed out, NBC's microphones will be open in Washington at 12 noon today, Eastern Standard Time, anticipating the address of President Roosevelt, to be broadcast over this network at 12:30 Eastern Standard Time. At 3 o'clock this afternoon, Prime Minister Churchill will address this network from London, 3 o'clock Eastern Standard Time. Here are two more items from the NBC newsroom in New York. Anchorage, Alaska. The newly established bases of the Alaska Defense Command have been put on the alert for the possibility that Japanese warships may swing northward from the battle at Hawaii. All defense positions are said to be fully manned. And from New York, man. And from New York, man. And from New York, man.